It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff. And we are on the topic of conversation today of how to accept the apology you were never given. And I know sometimes, you know, when we feel like we've been wronged or we feel like we've been put in an unjust situation and we expect maybe the person's going to come around and kind of deliver us the apology that we think, you know, we deserve. It doesn't always happen that way. Oftentimes we carry around a feeling of maybe unforgiving or almost a vengeance, like you want to get even. And how can we steer around that, Jeff?
Everyone has got a list of hurt, right? We probably have books of hurts that we carry around where someone's wronged us. I think what's helpful to remember is someone's got a book with our name in it.
I was just going to say, wouldn't it be fairest to say first and foremost that we've all been wronged, but we've also all done wrong?
Right. And I think that's where you start, is maybe if we all could inquire of our own memory of the times that you can think of where you hurt somebody.
I got a memory like a fish.
Where you hurt somebody.
And unless you got one over them.
No. But you did something and you know you hurt them. You know you had the opportunity to at least, you know, at least say you're sorry. And you didn't. Why didn't you?
Well, I would say oftentimes in my life, I probably lived with an arrogance of not believing I was wrong or not even thinking twice about it. Never even considering the fact I could have been wrong.
Man, I have a whole slew of people, and it hurts to think about, of from especially high school, of people and things that I said that I now know the power of words, as the Bible says, you know.
The tongue's a dangerous weapon.
It is. It's set on fire by the fire of hell. And in your words, you have the power to give life and death.
Hmm.
I have done my fair share of stupendously dumb things that I've said that were forever damaging to people. And I've made it my life for the past, well, since I was 20, you know, to say things that breathe life into people, but it wasn't always so. You know, when I was younger, I delivered some poison, and it haunts me. I wish I could go back and say I'm sorry now, but you know, how I don't even know how to reach those people. Some of them are dead.
How about on the flip side? You ever struggle with that vengeance thing of feeling like somebody got one over on you and just like, I don't think so?
I got a couple of those. Yeah, even recent. Yeah, you know, and what I think
I do.
What calms me down in the desire to want to wound those who've wounded me is A, I'm afraid of God. And he's the one that says, do not take revenge, for it is mine to avenge. And then on the flip side, he says, if you won't forgive others, I won't forgive you. And then another one on that is that the limit to which we are to forgive others who wrong us is only to the extent that you want to be forgiven. So for example, if you got a serial harmer in your life who has continually hurt you, how many times do you have to keep on forgiving them? Well, only forgive them as many times as you want God to forgive you on anything.
Also, at some point, wouldn't you remove yourself from the situation?
Okay, that's a great question. So
like you want to keep living the same lesson over again until you learn it, or what?
This is a wonderful question. What you're asking is, in forgiveness, do I have to maintain the same relationship with the person who's hurting me?
Yeah, right? I'm giving that a hard no.
Okay, you do not. And here's one of the things that I think a lot of Christians are confused about. Friendship is a gift. It's a choice. Loving someone is a choice. One is commanded, the other one is not.
That loving one.
Correct. You must love even your enemies, but you do not have to be a friend of your enemy.
Doesn't that get your enemy even a little bit better too when you love them?
Yeah, when you show...
It's kind of like, what? Huh?
Well, the Bible actually says that's called heaping the coals, because they're anticipating you to be nasty to them like they've been to you. And when you're kind and respectful and generous, it wears on them. And what it causes is for you to occupy headspace in their mind, because they can't get over it.
Living rent free.
Yeah, because you are clearly not being affected by the poison they're trying to cram down your throat. But they're poisoning themselves. You've heard that saying. You know what unforgiveness is?
Hmm.
It's like trying to poison someone by drinking poison yourself.
Eve.
And that's what it is. That's what unforgiveness does.
Because when you're unforgiving, who's harboring that? You or them?
You're drinking poison, hoping to poison them. And all you're doing is killing yourself.
You poured that poison in the wrong bottle. Right. I got to mix that arsenic in your Gatorade, not mine.
I mean, from that vantage point, it makes perfect sense. Like, don't do that. But when it comes to, right, but when it comes to the moment of emotional response, when someone's hurt you, you want to jump in there and just give it to them. But all you're doing is giving it to yourself.
Hmm. Because I was even just going to say that I don't really think I struggle with forgiveness as much as wanting to get even. But if I were super forgiving, would I want to get even?
Right. Exactly.
So I got to say that. Yeah, I do got to say that.
So what you're acknowledging is forgiveness is much larger than what you've previously wanted to acknowledge.
Yeah. Kind of think it's maybe even a process, huh?
I don't think it's a one-time thing. I think forgiveness is more of a way of life because... You may, you know, today say, I forgive this person, but you wake up tomorrow mad again.
Like, wait a minute. I forgot about that.
Right. And that's the problem. You can have a good moment and you can have a bad moment.
It's almost like grief.
Yeah. I think grief's easier.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Because grief, you get a moment to release. And with forgiveness, it doesn't make sense to you that you're going to, okay, I should say this, with revenge, you think you'll get a release by giving revenge.
It's almost like the revenge is almost kind of like a sinful pleasure in terms of you get the sinful pleasure and you feel the like gratification in the moment, but then you're kind of left with the emptiness afterwards.
And that's the after result you don't expect. It's kind of like when you've done something wrong that you know you shouldn't do. But your body says,
this wasn't supposed to go like that.
Right. The craving or whatever it is that you wanted, that you longed to fulfill, after you satisfied that temporal, whatever it was, the after effects is the guilt, right? The shame, the, what have I done?
Oh, you feel those things?
Sure.
Oof.
I'm a human being. I understand it fully.
Oh, God, I thought you were kind of shallow. I wasn't sure. All right, now I know. Now I know. This guy has feelings.
Yes, I have some feelings. I have a few. Feel good, feel bad.
That's only a couple.
That's right. That's it. That's all I need. So, but no, I think, and I can't remember who first said it to me, you know, but I was really struggling with my mom. You know, we had a strained relationship. She was a flaming alcoholic. We kind of had a falling out in my seventh grade year. My father had a terrible divorce, bitter divorce.
Did she live by, I'm not here for a long time, but a good time?
She did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She was.
I had a phase of that in my life. I get it.
She didn't eat. I think she just drank. I think that's all she did.
Oh, goodness. I didn't get to that point, I definitely did live the, I'm here for a good time only kind of thing.
It was all day long, every day. And by the end. But I was in seventh grade, and I came home, and now listen, I'm a kid, and I forget what I said, but I said something, and my mother said, "You sound just like your father," and she smacked me in the face, and I may have said something dumb, but I said, "Are you finished yet?" And then she hit me a few more times, to the point where her hands began to hurt. Now she's drunk out of her mind, and I mean I'm full on it. Probably would have hurt less had it been a fist, you know, that really hard smack.
Just slap.
Mm-hmm. And she said, after she was rubbing her hands because they hurt so bad, because it was both hands. It wasn't one. It was both back and forth.
Like a pinata.
Yeah. Sheesh. And she said, "Now I'm finished." And I said, and I was respectful in how I said it, but I said, "So am I." And I called my dad and I never went back.
Mm.
So that was it.
That's probably not how I would have handled that, but good for you.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, I love my mom, you know, but I just, she'd always been abusive, emotionally, physically, not always every day, but it was frequent enough that this was it. You know what I mean? It was like,
see, that's where that's how you're going to do me when it came out. Yeah.
And that's where I didn't have the scaffolding then to understand again, forgiveness. And I wasn't a Christian either, but forgiveness means that I can forgive you, but I don't have to put myself in a position to allow you to hurt me anymore.
Mm.
Yeah. But so she obviously died. I think it was 1997 when she passed away, or 98. I forget which year it was.
Did you get that closure?
No, because she had a tracheotomy. She died of cancer from esophageal cancer from drinking and smoking. and it's pretty bad, pretty horrific. But she couldn't speak, and when she asked for the whole family to come down, all my siblings, we all came down, but she couldn't speak. She was barely, you know, she was lucid, heavily medicated. She was in the last hours of her life.
It's pretty much under hospice care.
Yes, yeah. Okay. And we didn't have closure. No one got to say anything. We got to say, hi, Mom, and that was about it, that we're here. And then she passed shortly after, you know, within a day of us all being there. But no, I never got to sit down and have a talk with her. The last conversation we had was after I, so seventh grade, years passed, and I was going to go to Bible college to be a minister. And obviously I'm a believer now. And she told me what a waste of my life that would be and how disappointed she was in me. She said a lot of things, but that's in a nutshell what it was. And it was really hard. My wife was there and saw this happen, and she's like, I'm just so sorry. And I said, it's okay. So anyway, that was like the last conversation we ever really had. And then, so we just never had any closure. And I forget who it was, but they said to me, Jeff, sometimes you have to accept the apology you never received.
Mm.
And it was like, oh my gosh. You know, it just hung on me. Because I lived in such bitterness over that.
So once you marinated on that thought for a while, that kind of was the help of releasing the heavy burden in which you were carrying for the time in which you were.
Yeah, and I didn't know I was carrying it. That was the hard part. You know how I know that I was carrying it?
You probably got a lot less angry.
No, well, yes, but I mean, the indicator was, even as a minister, whenever Mother's Day came around, I had a hard time celebrating it.
Mm.
Because it was colored by the acts of my mother. And what helped me with that was actually my mother-in-law and my, I guess it'd be my grandmother-in-law, right? My mom, my mother-in-law, my wife's mom and her mom, amazing moms, both of them, just amazing moms. And
they got the Southern hospitality.
Oh, I'm telling you. And then, you know, the point, it's like, I mean, they're my moms, you know? And, but then also when Melanie, you know, we had kids, two boys, just what an amazing mother she is. And I got to avoid all that for years because, you know, while we're married, it was 8 years before we had kids. So I didn't really have to deal and slay that dragon. That statement was said to me years prior, before I ever had kids, but it was marinating. What happened was I had to preach a sermon on Mother's Day, and I didn't know what to say. And that's when I realized I had a heart problem, that I had an unforgiveness problem.
Hmm.
Because I was looking at all mothers with...
as yours.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, in reality, that wasn't necessarily... No. Well, now you found out firsthand that that's not the case.
Well, I think to help people understand, I think people do that with race, right? They let one person's actions...
define their entire belief about...
another race.
Everyone else.
Mm-hmm. In that race. And listen, that's all sides. That's not just one-sided there, by the way.
Sure.
I think we call that racism, by the way.
Or even, I guess, probably the more surface term for that type of a thought would be like stereotyping.
Yeah, or hateism.
Sure. But I think you're right. I think people have had maybe, you know, a couple interactions with opposing races, and maybe they've seen a couple movies of how this specific race or ideology operates, and that's just their pre-concluded like narrative.
Their assumption is all people of this classification act this way. And when have you ever seen that to be true, ever?
Well, you know what they say about assuming.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we all do it. We do.
We do.
We all, certainly not saying that everyone's racist. I don't mean that by any means, but I think we do all assume, well, this has got to be this way because, you know, the two things that I've ever encountered in my life like that, or that's how they are. So it's got to be like that.
It's amazing how we pick and choose how we view things. For example, you ever had a splinter in your finger? Mm-hmm. Like a wood piece of something stuck in your hand? Are you mad at trees over that?
Yes.
Or do you walk around like, I'm just so mad at those trees?
I've been cutting them down ever since.
Let's just cut them all down. You know, is that why you hate roses? Because they have thorns?
Well, I got three in my front yard.
Apparently not, right?
Too hard, right?
You know, but isn't it funny? We do that with guns. Why? Because someone told us to. We were taught to hate guns because we saw somewhere, somehow, some way, someone misused a tool that was meant for protection and offense, but used it in an improper manner. Therefore, it's easier to demonize all guns as being bad.
Hmm.
Don't you see that? I mean, it's amazing. In other words, mm-hmm. It's taught.
Yeah.
As opposed to thinking and being rational you're reacting emotionally, and it's never good. Not with guns, not with splinters, not with people.
I think that's fair, and I think we all, I mean, all things in essence can really be a, all the way down from, like you just said, guns to the tongue itself can be a weapon of good and a weapon of evil.
Life and death.
I think in wrapping this up, I would say two things to take away from this is never underestimate the value of planting that seed, and you know what you may give someone that seems insignificant to you may make the world's biggest difference to them. And as you're feeling, though, man, I'm never going to get over this, or I really want to get even on this, or you're harboring the burdens of what's happened to you, the injustice you feel, or the unforgiveness that you feel, you put your mind and your heart in the right place, and I think you're going to find that it passes.
Yeah, properly processing things. If we could all try and master this skill, we've all had injustices done to us, intentionally or not. Can you imagine if we would all just make up our mind that as bad as I felt and as bad as those people made me feel about myself, I'm going to make my mind up to make sure I never do that to anybody else.
Like be the change you want to see.
Yeah, like that. Like I can still learn what's right even though I was done wrong.
Yeah, I mean there's always a lesson to learn, right? Right,
yeah. So make good on it.
Even if you were wrong, you still came away with a lesson, so isn't that ultimately a victory?
In the end, if you're doing what's right, that's what God smiles on, right?
Yeah. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.